People Helping People, a program bridging the community with local organizations and nonprofits making a difference in the Bay Area. If you or someone you know would like to get your messages on People Helping People, please email us at contact@poly923fm.com or desipeoplehelpingpeople@gmail.com. Here are your hosts, Larry Walling and Greg Pirillo.
Hello and welcome to another edition of People Helping People. I am Greg with my very lovely co-host, Larry. I've never called you lovely in all my years of working.
I had one girl say that to me.
That one. You were lovely? Only one.
Beautiful, but not.
In your whole life, only one girl's called you
once,
lovely.
Only once.
Well, I'm glad I'm the second person to call you that. It's good to be
Why
with you.
Why would you call me lovely anyway?
I don't know. I couldn't come up with a good adjective today, and it was the first thing that popped in my mind, probably because of our guests in the studio being lovely. And
that
I
she is. She's
That
she
came
is
to
lovely.
Mind, and I That's applied true. It to you, which was
well,
way off
I,
base.
I will take it as a compliment.
How are Even you? Coming you all right? From you.
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah?
Yes, loving the rain.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's like, you know, as much as sometimes I wake up and I'm a little bit disappointed when I notice it to be gloomy.
Really?
And,
you don't
and
like
gray.
The rain?
I do, but I grew up in the East Coast, so it's like there was rain pretty 50% of the year.
Yeah.
Which is not a bad thing, but when you come here, you expect sunshine. So for 4 years, I've not really seen more than maybe a week or two of rain per year. This seems like That's a little true. Bit longer than normal for us. So.
Well, this has been a wet month.
Yeah.
So we're getting consecutive days.
Let's just hope it actually really does keep the drought talk at bay for at least a year. I see Sherry shaking her head. We'll get to that.
Yeah,
I hear it's not. Everybody's telling me it's not, which is crazy.
No.
It's crazy. Rain equals water. What
no,
are they doing
No, it's true,
here?
But it's not enough water.
Right. I see you biting your tongue. Let me introduce our guests today, because that way we can get that. We could quickly touch on this conversation.
Yeah, that way we can hear them instead of you. That's right.
We have had many great experiences with our guests today in the studio. We've been lucky enough to have Sherry Higgs, who's the founder of Drivers for Survivors, several times. This is probably the fifth time we've had you in. It's a pleasure to have you, dear.
Thank you so much.
Always.
Thank you.
And every time you've been here, all you do is, as you discuss all your day-to-day stuff and all the craziness you deal with, you always say, oh, and Daisy's doing this and that. And I'm like, who is this Daisy person, this godlike figure?
The mystery.
Who is all around and does everything that you don't do.
Yeah. Yes.
Basically, you're yin-yang or you're yan to
yes,
your yin,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
You are, all of a sudden today you show up and you're like, finally, I have brought the mysterious, the famous Daisy.
I didn't want you to think I was making her up.
I really didn't believe you were until you said I'm bringing her. I'm like, wait a minute, well, maybe she was telling us
Not.
This to believe, lead us to believe. Anyway, Daisy, thank you for being here.
Yeah. Thank you. Hello, everyone.
It's so
nice to meet you finally.
Yeah,
Daisy.
I mean, look, this is a power couple right here.
Yep.
The power combo. This.
Yeah.
I know how much you've achieved. Sherry with Drivers for Survivors.
That's,
and I don't think one person really is capable of doing everything themselves. So it's nice to know that there's one person who's able to work with you and manage this, what's become this massive nonprofit.
Yes.
Tell people what Drivers for Survivors is, please.
So Drivers for Survivors provides free transportation service with companionship, supportive companionship for ambulatory cancer patients.
Okay.
And it's from suspicious findings through their treatments, and we're a door-through-door service. So we stay with the patient every step of the way. And about Daisy, she is definitely been the person who's made it possible for me to be able to do the things that I need to do in my role, and she's always, she has done a lot with the infrastructure for certain. So, it has been a power working relationship for sure.
How long has she been with you from the beginning?
Gosh, Daisy, I know I'm bad with time.
2015, July, I was an intern.
Yeah, she got a promotion.
So it's almost 3 years.
Yeah,
yes.
But now she's administrative director. She was overqualified.
Moving on up.
Look, there's no title that will necessarily explain or describe what somebody like Daisy does.
I could
does.
Say it, right-hand person.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know, she's going to be moving on in September. She's going to be pursuing her credentials to be a doctor. And
really?
She already is in China.
Congratulations.
Thank
you. You already are in China.
Yes.
Well, you have already far exceeded Larry and my
Really? You are a doctor in China?
Yes.
Wow.
You look like a doctor.
You look too young.
Doesn't
you look too young.
She does. Healthy living.
It could be the
white. I guess.
You're wearing white, so you look like a doctor, but you do look like a doctor.
Yeah. Yeah. She has the presence of a healer, too.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's been nice, the working relationship, because also knowing what I've been through, you know, if I'm working too hard, she'll go, Sherry, go home. or do you need to drink water? So it's kind of nice that you've got that business thing, but then you've got, we're friends.
The nurturing. Let me ask you, Daisy, do you find that this particular job and this role has helped you as a doctor?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Very rewarding. I learned a lot more than I expected at Drivers for Survivors.
This is one of my favorite, people, not only just people, but like initiatives, if you will, it's an initiative, right?
Yeah.
Because of how it happened and how you went from being, you know, this entrepreneurial businesswoman, and you had a life experience that affected the way you lived and the way you thought, and you decided to take all of the energy and all of the passion you had for your business and your work and put it into something that's really only helping other people. That's it. That's the sole purpose of driving. There's no money to be made.
No, there's no profit.
Can you explain a little? I know we've said this story. You've said this story many times, so sort of an abbreviated version for people who might not have known your story.
You know what? Absolutely. I would be more than happy to share. And one of the things I like to share it, because then I can put on my advocacy hat for the type of cancer that I got.
Please.
So I was a healthy woman, and in 2010 I got diagnosed with inflammatory breast cancer. And that type of cancer, typically statistics are not very good.
Right.
So I made a decision once I went through my year of treatment. So I'd been through all of it, you name it. I had a neoadjuvant surgery, which is, it's in a different order than a regular chemo situation, because I also had a tumor that was hidden, so they had to shrink that. It was at my chest cavity. I had radiation. I had expanders. Double mastectomy, everything. So I was, and then I went through Genentech has a synthetic serum called Herceptin, and I was on that for another 6 months. So it was a journey for sure. And I saw a lot, you know, and I was also chronicling, I like to do my own type of reporting I've learned, and I was chronicling other people's stories. And I was learning that, in my opinion, I feel cancer is not just epidemic. I believe it's pandemic. Mm-hmm. And that's just my personal opinion. And I've heard that it's going to bypass at a certain point, heart disease, which is the top on the list. But you can sense that when you have these conversations. And after I'd gone through treatment, I went through a year of substantiating the need of the organization. And when I spoke to people, everybody had a story. And you could just sense, and looking at the statistics too, from when I was getting treatment to the end, you know, the numbers had doubled. And I knew that something was off. And I saw people struggling. It was really hard to watch and to experience in some cases. And so at any rate, I was on the cover of San Francisco Chronicle because of the illness, which was the first door opener, if you will, in terms of the advocacy.
Right.
And then everything fell into place after that, with elbow grease and with people seeing that this was something that they wanted to support, and getting different folks in the community to embrace and help me on this journey, it began. And we are now, as of December 1st, 5 years of operation.
It's crazy. I was just going to say that.
Yeah,
5 years.
5 years.
Yeah, wow.
And then the one other thing about the inflammatory breast cancer, I just read, and I needed to pull up my Facebook to find this, but I just read that the California Senate introduced a resolution to declare October 3rd, 2018 as an Inflammatory Breast Cancer Awareness Day. And I think that's phenomenal.
October 3rd.
Because a lot of that's what this says. Because a lot of people don't even know what it is, which is why I went so much into the advocacy work, because no one knew what I would talk to people, or I would explain to them why I was being cautious, and they're, you're being overly this and that. They didn't understand my statistics.
Yeah.
They didn't understand what inflammatory breast cancer is. So I do advise people to go on the internet and on a well-established medical site and look it up and it learn, is amazing educate how much yourself
of
a little
that
bit.
You hear. How, mm-hmm. where you hear, we really don't know enough about this yet. Like very rare mm-hmm. illnesses, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, how many, I've watched so many specials where it's like this person had some rare mm-hmm. genetic mutate, whatever it is. And they don't know really how to treat it because they don't have enough history mm-hmm. in treating it, right? Which has got to be as somebody who might be, who receives the news that they have this rare mm-hmm. disease, it's got to be a bit of an overwhelming feeling. Like, well, who's what? Am I going to be the guinea pig? Am I going to be the person that's going to, you know, how do you even react to that?
The chances are so very low to when you look at the big picture. But yet, I have to tell you, I don't know. Again, I'm a very observant person.
Yeah,
I'm hearing the word rare all the time in terms of cancer,
mm-hmm.
and with inflammatory breast cancer, there's a pocket of people that believe that it's not quite as rare as it may seem, that there were a lot of folks that just didn't know what it was back in the day, and right. the death certificates aren't necessarily indicating inflammatory breast cancer. Again, mm-hmm. I'm not really in the know 100% with all that, but these are things that I've, some exposures I've had at minimum. So the rare cancers and younger, but it seems to me that a lot of people say, this is rare. Well, how many rares are there? You know what I mean? I'm hearing it.
You're right.
I hear the word rare a lot. So I just find that really interesting. I'm so immersed in the work that I'm doing with the organization. It's hard for me to chase every single thing down. Like before, when this wasn't to the point that it's at now, there was more time. If I heard things like that, I'd start, you know, peeling back the onions to figure out what's going on. But there's just not that kind of time. It's just an observation, but it really seems to be prevalent hearing that. And younger people,
I guess that makes sense.
Getting cancers as well.
Because there's so many different versions and different types of cancer. Yeah. And so, I guess when times change, people change, bodies change. So I'm sure that there's this type of thing is more common than we believe. But I guess if you're the one getting the diagnosis of something that's a rare form of cancer or mm-hmm. rare, I would imagine it to be a bit, I mean, not when that it, if you heard it, it's the, you know, this well, is the, remember the old one was like the good Hodgkin's. What's the good Hodgkin's?
It's, yeah, really.
It's right. Hodgkin's
What's good
disease.
About Hodgkin's? Yeah.
Right.
But
Period.
There was that for a while. You'd hear, this is the bad Hodgkin's. This is the good mm-hmm. Hodgkin's. When in reality, it's not good.
Exactly. Exactly. And it also, you could have pre-existing conditions. You know, there's a lot of other things that could play into something. So yeah, it's difficult. Once you hear the diagnosis, it's hard to digest. In answer to your question, when I heard that I had inflammatory breast cancer, at first they thought it was an infection, a breast infection. So when that news came out, I think I was in shock. Literally, I was in shock, but I knew something was off. You know, you just know sometimes if you're, you know, instinctual. So I knew something was off.
Yeah. Well, smart woman. So of course you're right away, your business sense and your, I guess, instinct.
Intuitive.
Of course.
You're
intuitive.
Yeah,
it's intuitive. An intuition.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. I have a question for you. So you talked earlier about it being pandemic. I tend to agree with you.
Do you?
I do. Mm-hmm. Because just lately, the past 5 years, I'd say, my observation was in touch with so many more people that have had cancer.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think is contributing to something like that? You think it's lifestyle, diet?
That's such a big question.
I mean, seriously.
So you hear about cancer clusters, right?
Yes.
Which means that they're more cancer's more prevalent in certain mm-hmm. areas. I think overall, the broad answer is that there are a lot of things. It could be genetics. It could be environmental. It could be the foods you eat, your mm-hmm. your own healthy, your lifestyle, how healthy you are. I would say, though, I'm kind of leaning towards feeling, especially in cluster areas, that it has to be more environmental.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just logical.
Yeah, if it's a cluster
It's just logical
yeah.
to me.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there needs to be probably a very heavy concentration of research done in perhaps it is already going on. I know there's a lot of research with cancer, but that's my answer to your question.
Yeah.
I have another one.
Oh, yeah. Boy.
Well, you've had the floor. So
no,
I'm,
go for
I'm
it.
I'm taking it away from you. So they talk about cancer cures. I see it on the internet all the time. You know, how real is that? I mean, we hear about it all the time. I come across it twice a week at least on my emails. this is going to cure cancer. They don't want you to know that that's out there. The medical association, we know that.
So I personally tend not to subscribe to conspiracy theories. I feel like it's going down a rabbit hole.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just me personally. I'm not, you know, negating anybody's feelings. I'm just saying this is, I'm going to speak from my personal experience. So I feel that combining Eastern and Western medicine is a very balanced way to do things. You know, if I had not had the treatment that I had, I would not be here today. And I don't think there was any magic bullet for saving my life, you know? So what I did was very aggressive because the cancer was very aggressive. They told me within 6 months I would be dead.
Wow.
I heard those, that's what I was told. So I told them, the doctors, then you be aggressive right back to my oncologist. So we went through that. I chose that road. I think if I had gone and done something different and solely that, for me personally, I don't really have the faith that that would have saved my life. I will also add to that, my choice was also on the Western side, some holistic things. I definitely got more involved in visualization with meditation. I cut out sugar completely. I, for some reason, attached myself to, I had a lemon tree in the backyard at the time, and I drank a lot of lemon water. I know some people deprive their body of nutrients. I chose not to do that during chemo. I was doing healthy smoothies. So I didn't, again, intuition, you know, and I kind of followed my own path, but then I also listened to the doctors, you know, I was a good patient because I didn't want to be in harm's way, obviously. So I think the answer is balance in your life. And, in terms of the other theories out there, you know, I see a lot too. And, I can only speak to my own experience.
Very interesting, because it is a topic that not just the cure, but like, you know, how treatable a cancer might be, and having you know, a percentage put on your cancer. I would imagine it doesn't matter. You're still going to go about your fight. You're still going to go about your treatments and hope for the best.
Well, I think another thing that I firmly believe now too is stress. So I was under an exorbitant amount of stress at that time. And once I got through everything, I made some lifestyle changes. And some people were like, well, you chose a stressful job. But the difference with that stress and this stress is I can control the stress. And I'm able to, when, you know, I need to turn off and I feel myself getting, feeling that stressful feeling, I don't care what's on my desk. I go home if I have to.
That's a safety switch.
You know, I don't tolerate a lot of things. You know, I used to always want to kind of be the peacekeeper. You know, my tolerance level of, I want to be around more positive people.
Absolutely.
You know, I don't have a whole lot of tolerance for
negativity.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm still a realist. So having certain conversations, I don't need to have it all be, you know, butterflies and rainbows, but conflict or, you know, things that get, you know, unnecessary.
Sure.
I tend to walk away now.
Good. Good for you.
Well, let's, since we've gotten a little bit into the, some of the depth in this, I would like to talk about, first of all, for people that are interested in this service, right? It's an incredible thing. Driversforsurvivors.org is the website, by the way, but, where are you servicing? So anybody who's listening to this in our listening range, which is pretty much the Bay Area, who qualifies?
So I'm going to go through the service areas, then I'm going to turn it over to Daisy so that she can speak a little bit to the program as well.
Please.
But we service ambulatory cancer patients that live in Fremont, Newark, and Union City. And as of July, we got a grant. We expanded. And now it's also Hayward, San Leandro, San Lorenzo, Castro Valley, Ashland, and Cherry Lynn. This was so amazing.
I remember when you came in last time. This was working. Just starting, right?
Yep.
Just
getting and it's there. Working out. We do want more people to you know, learn about our services, especially if you've got any of the underserved, you know, type of clinics and this sort of thing. But we'll talk about the needs maybe towards the end. But the expansion itself is just amazingly exciting. And people are super, super supportive and appreciative that we've moved into their areas.
This is a great thing.
Yeah.
And go ahead. I know you want to pass it along to
Daisy.
Yeah,
I do. Daisy, why don't you tell them about the some of...
Okay, so if you are an ambulatory cancer patient, meaning you're not in wheelchair, and you live in our service areas like Sherry mentioned before, and if you can... if we have a physician statement from your doctor that you are diagnosed as oncology patients, or you have a suspicious findings, meaning it can be from your primary provider, and
anyone.
That have suspicious finding, we can take you to the appointments.
And this is like one of those things where you think about it. Your chemotherapy, for example, is just draining, right? I mean, I don't know anybody who's ever gone through chemotherapy who hasn't said it just sucks the life out of you. It makes you so tired and you don't feel well. Driving is the last thing you should be thinking about or even doing, right?
Yes.
Some people don't have a support system to help them, or they do, and that person's working and they can't not work because they have to pay for treatments and such, right?
There's variables that people don't even, and Daisy, you saw a lot of that firsthand being in that chair for a while.
Yes.
Yeah, there's so many variables of people's, what's going on in their life that could play into a decision for using the service. The majority of them are seniors,
right.
But then you also get a lot of clients who just have, maybe they've gone through a life change or they just moved in the area.
Yeah, they don't have anyone. They live alone.
Yeah.
And if no one is there to drive them to the appointments, they have to take bus.
Have you done driving? Have you driven patients or no?
Back was when I was, when it was an emergency.
Yeah, because I would imagine that to be a very fulfilling work, right? For some, like for people who are like, I know this. Yeah. I'm one of these people. I'm like, I wish I could do more, right? Mm-hmm. I want to do good things for people sometimes. And then how many people I've heard say they want to donate their time or they want to give back, but they don't know where to do it. I don't have the time to do it. This is one of those things where I feel like you could really do something, not just for others, but to make yourself feel like I'm doing something.
Yes. Yeah, so one ride every 3 months is a huge give for us. And some of those rides are only a total of like a half hour because radiation's 15 minutes. And if you get somebody who lives real close to a radiation center, boom, you know. But, volunteer companion drivers tend to, once they give one ride, they're pretty self-motivated. And they'll usually develop a relationship of some sort with the clients. And friendship will... be the fuel to have them continue on a lot of times. And then we just rolled out where you can actually find some of your rides from your website. And Daisy, you want to explain a little bit about that?
So if you go to our website, driversforsurvivors.org, and go to the volunteer tab, we have a sign up form there online. So if you're interested in maybe just want to know more about our service, or if you already sure and you want to be a volunteer, also there's a box that you can check whichever you want to. And then our program coordinator, Michelle, can contact you within 24 hours.
This is such a good thing. I mean, I was reading your milestones and it's like over 13,000 rides. I'm not sure how updated this is.
We're now at 13,600.
So you're, over 13,000 rides, over 350 clients. I mean, that's
370 now.
And you're in, and you're talking about three towns for the majority of the time you've been doing this, and now it's expanded to seven.
Yes.
But think about that, right? Like just kind of relative to the amount of people in the Bay Area. You're covering a small zone, but it's affecting this many people.
That's right.
Unbelievable.
And is the number still current, Daisy? 170 for the drivers?
150 for the drivers.
150. So I think I'm confusing the client statistic with the volunteer. Yeah, so 150 volunteer drivers. And my goal, and this is lofty, and I challenge everyone listening to in the area to perhaps help us with this goal, but I'd like to get us at 300 drivers by the end of next year. For sure. 300 drivers. And again, it's just one ride every 3 months.
We could do it.
I think we could because everybody, once they sign in, they love it.
Our listeners need to get
involved. Because it's so flexible.
Once they sign in, they love it.
Yeah, they can pick and choose their ride based on the city, based on where they live.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk about the enhancement we just did where they can pick their rides. That's what I was starting to mention earlier.
Tell us.
Where some of the drivers now, they
can... And if they, if they prefer to self-assign, they can have a login. And they log in and then they can see, because we use this volunteer transportation
program
that listed all of the rights that we have for as far as we have. So they can just pick and choose whichever they want.
It has the interest on there too. So we have every time we're making a step for more modern technology, this is why we waited so long. I did not want to have just a system where it was you know, you lose that personal touch. So the fact that we had the interest where the drivers could still see that mm-hmm. was when I decided to open it up for drivers to be able to pick clients, because it didn't sacrifice our model. Does right. that make sense to
that
you?
That totally makes sense. Okay. Yeah. Because we're obviously our time is, we don't have unlimited time. I okay. want to make sure we talk a little bit about, because you have okay. your major annual event, the Black and White
we
Ball.
We do.
Fourth annual this year.
Is, well, yeah, it's fourth annual. We skipped a year. It should be technically fifth annual, but it is fourth annual. And this one's a biggie for a million reasons. One reason is the five-year anniversary. And we're going to be celebrating that the most.
Nice.
Another reason is our expansion to the new area. We get to formally really get people involved and engaged and excited about the milestones we've been making. So that's going to be awesome. And the other reason is because, you know, it's important to have this event match the grandness of where we're going and the directions we're headed in.
Right.
And so I'm very much, I'm super happy about the sponsors that have come through. My minimum that I wanted to raise was 65,000. And to date, I've raised 50,000.
55.
So, oh, is it 55 yeah. now? Oh, she wow. gives it. Yeah, I under, so we're what? So we're very 10, close 000? To our goal,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So I would love to be able to get a couple more sponsors to come in. And, you know, I would love for more people to come in and get tables. I really, my early birthday present, I wish to get a very, very strong turnout where we actually fill it to the point where we might have to turn a few people away.
Yes.
Not that you want to, you know what I mean?
No, that's a good kind of turn away.
Yeah, good kind of turn away.
That's a good kind. That means you've grown beyond what you believed where you would be. I mean, look, you're doing this in Pleasanton, right? Castlewood Country
so
Club.
So the event itself is in Pleasanton,
it's
yes.
A big event.
And
big
it's
place.
Castlewood is beautiful.
Gorgeous.
The food, the menu's going to be gorgeous.
Same place as last year, isn't it?
Yeah. We have, because, you know, they've been so, but we're making the ambiance a little different than we're taking it up a notch.
How's that?
Well, just some fancy little touches here
you
and there.
You have to go.
And, yeah. You're you not go, yeah, you got, here, I'll give you guys invitations. I brought you both one
oh,
anyway.
Harry, we've moved up.
So,
in the world.
Here's your invitation. There's
so.
One for you.
Never, that means you're going to have
and
to wear a tie,
And there's one for
too.
You.
Even my own family doesn't invite
But
me
I
places.
Always told you guys that I would let you know yeah. things first, remember?
Oh, thank
Do you remember
you.
My promise to tell you guys things
so
first?
Sweet. We so get I, first crack
I have
at
something
everything.
To tell
wow.
you.
What? Tell us.
No, I'm not pregnant. No.
We're waiting.
What it is after this gala, I'm going to start working on building chapters for this organization.
Wow, is that right?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, we've talked
and
about that.
So this is now, it's time. And, you know, the thing about us is, you know, we're free. I mean, we're free for the medical providers. We're free for the clients. Our volunteers, you know, they accompany all of the patients to their appointments, drive them home. You know, they offer a steady arm. And then most of the volunteers know someone who's had cancer that has been affected by cancer, or perhaps they themselves have been affected and they just want to give back. So this model is working. That I know.
Yeah.
And it's now at a point where the areas that make sense to go and move forward and branch this out, because in terms of the personalization, that's priceless. And yeah. we really want to grow the model now.
I was thinking that very thing. Emotionally, this has got to be a huge thing for these
people.
It's
the biggest part of it.
Yeah.
The ride itself is actually secondary. Mm-hmm. The friendship is in that relationship building is the most important thing, because, you know, these people will have a connection beyond
True.
The ride.
What does this mean, though, by you, by what in what you're talking about in this growth? Mm-hmm. What would this mean for drivers, for survivors? Would it just mean opening it up to more areas, more
for
states?
Certain,
more...
For certain. So I have my eye on some peripheral areas to start, uh-huh. not anything too far away in the beginning. And you know, there's this whole model worked out in terms of what we could do with this. And it's about making sure that the right ears hear about it, and that they also, you know, educate themselves on the success of the organization, and we can further develop partnerships, talking to the city, people within the cities and other programs, and really having a strong tie with all of those players.
I have nothing but confidence that this will grow and continue to grow.
I've always known it's going to be really, you know.
Yeah, because it has been growing.
You can feel it.
At some point, mm-hmm. it's going to be, there's going to be a lot more people involved. And I knew that from the get-go, mm-hmm. but it's amazing to see even what it's become in the 3 years since we've known you.
Well, for the conservative folks, I think the one thing I'm very proud of is pacing. You know, having come right out of cancer, it was so easy to want it to be big fast.
Yeah.
And I am sort of a big, bold thinker.
Anytime you're in here, I end up leaving motivated somehow. So that's something to be said for that. Before we get out of here, I would like to mention the list of some of the very important sponsors of the Black and White Ball event on April 7th. We didn't have a chance to mention them during the show, so I feel like I should list these off. It's very important. They are doing wonderful things. Premier Nissan and Premier Subaru of Fremont, the Renshaw Foundation, East Bay Community Foundation, DaVita Inc., Kaiser Permanente, Washington Hospital Healthcare System, Whole Foods Market, as well as some other that we should mention as well, Alameda County Supervisor Richard Valley, Dale Hardware, Dutra Enterprises, Fremont Elks Lodge 2121, Genetech, Horizon Financial Associates, Meanwell USA Inc., Republic Services Inc., S5 Advisory, Sisters of the Holy Family, the Mardarden Family, McDonald's of Fremont, Union Bank of California, and the Vanita Indian American Association of Women. I'd like to thank all of those sponsors. And please find out more about this Black and White Ball by visiting events at driversforsurvivors.org.